Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Pesachim Daf Samach Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Daf Samach Gimel at the lower part of the page, lower part of Samach Gimel Omid Aleph. You will notice a Mishnah. The topic heading that we have provided that you see on the side of the page in the margin, the no say, and we indicate ad samach dalet amud aleph, that means we have a rather long topic, shchitas korban kishebirushuso chametz, the slaughtering of a sacrifice while he has in his possession chametz. So to speak about possession of chametz, naturally, we're talking about something that's related to the 14th of Nisan and the holiday of Pesach. Before we actually learn the Gemara, it's worth familiarizing yourself with the following psukim. We have two psukim that we want to cite and read. They are found in Shmos, Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches, and Shmos, Perek Lamed Dalid, Pasuk Chof Hei. So in Perek Chof Gimel of Sefer Shmos, Pasuk Yud Ches, the Pasuk says, Lo Sizbach al Chometz Dam Zivchi, V'lo Yolin Chelev Chagi Ad Boker. Do not slaughter while having Chometz my Korban. And Lo Yolin is not to leave over the chelev, the innards of the holiday korban until the morning. The next pasuk that we want to look at is Perek Lamed Dalid, pasuk Chof Hei. It says Lo Sishchat Al Chometz Dam Zivchi. The pasuk that we read before began Lo Sizbach Al Chometz. This pasuk says Lo Sishchat al Chometz Dam Zivchi, V'lo Yolin Laboker Zevach Chag HaPosach, and don't leave over till the morning the Korban Pesach. The psukim serve as the basis for the prohibitions discussed in our Gemara, and we will make reference to these psukim later in the sugya as well. Now the Mishnah, lower part of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Hashoychet es HaPesach al HaChometz, one who slaughters the Korban Pesach with Chometz, over Beloisasa, he is in violation of the negative command. Rashi mentions, Lo Sishchat al Chometz, Dam Zivchi. That was what we saw in the Psukim, Pasuk Chof Hei of Perek Lamed Dalid. We continue in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af HaTomid. The Tanakama mentioned, the first Tana mentioned, one who slaughters a Pesach while in possession of Chometz. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Tomid as well. The Tomid would be the Tomid Shelbein Harvayim, the afternoon Tomid, which is slaughtered at a time of day that is suitable time-wise for the Korban Pesach as well. Rabbi Shimon Omer, HaPesach, the Korban Pesach slaughtered while in possession of Chometz, Barbo Asar, if done on the 14th of Nisan, Lishmoi Chayav, if you do a Korban Pesach at its right time with a Korban Pesach intention, namely it would be a good Korban Pesach, then if you happen to be in possession of Chometz, Chayav, you're in violation of the law of Lo Sishchat al Chometz dam zivchi. In other words, the pasuk, when it says don't slaughter, it's a reference to a proper Pesach, which we call a shchita haru'uya. And you should know, shitas Rabbi Shimon is the shchita she'eina ru'uya is not considered a shchita. The pasuk prohibits this, in other words, for this particular lav. We're talking right now about the 14th of Nisan, so the Isur of having possession of chametz, basic possession of chametz, is not in power yet, is not binding yet. That's something that is Pesach holiday related. The 14th of Nisan is Erev Pesach. However, there is a chametz related negative command, specifically aimed at the slaughtering of, in this case, the Korban Pesach, while in possession of chametz. So that one has to rid himself of chometz in order to avoid this violation of lo sishchat al chometz. But that is the lav, the negative command is, as the word said, lo sishchat, an act of slaughtering. If there is a problem in the slaughtering, in other words, if the slaughtering does not result in a kosher korban, that's called shchita sheino ruya, an improper shchita, and is eino shmo shchita according to Rabbi Shimon, and therefore there would be no violation, because even though we're being a bit repetitious, the violation of this negative command is only if you do an act that's halachically regarded as shchita. If you hold that an improper shchita is not halachically categorized as shchita, so you're not in violation of this negative command. The Mishnah continues, v'sheloi lishmo poter, if you shecht a korban pesach on the 14th of Nisan while in possession of chametz, but you do the korban without pesach intention, you have intention for another sacrifice, another kind of sacrifice, you are exempt, you are not considered in violation of the lav of lo sishchat al chametz, because that's called a shchito she'eino ruya. Korban pesach that's nishchat shelo lishmo is posel. Ushar kol hazvachim, regarding the slaughtering of other sacrifices, and we're talking about on the 14th of Nisan, bein lishmon ubein shaloi lishmon poter, whether you do the korban with korban with the specific identity in mind, or with changing its in your mind, you do it with a different korban in mind, you are exempt. And we will have to establish by way of sources why is there an exemption when you're dealing with other sacrifices on the 14th. Uva Moyed. Now we're dealing with the holiday itself, within the holiday itself. Lishmo Potter, if you shecht a Korban Pesach with a Korban Pesach intention on in the middle of Passover holiday, you've ruined the Korban. A Korban Pesach is, you're supposed to have Pesach intention, Korban Pesach intention only on the 14th. This isn't the 14th anymore. So you've ruined the Korban, therefore you're exempt. It's called a Shechita She'ein Aruya. And therefore, you are exempt from the negative command of Lo Sishchat Al Chometz. Sheloi Lishmoi, if you did a Korban Pesach with a non-Korban Pesach mindset, but rather you intended it to be a Shlomim, that is a kosher korban. Therefore, it's a shchita haruya, and if you are in the possession of chametz, so in addition to bal yiro, bal yamotze, the general Pesach prohibition, there's another lav called lo sishchat al chametz. Ushar kol hazvachim, all other sacrifices during the shechted, while you're in possession of chametz on the holiday of Pesach, bein lishmon, bein shelo lishmon chayav. Whether you do the korban with the proper intention or even with the intention of another korban, nevertheless, when you're dealing with other sacrifices, the lo lishma doesn't ruin the korban. Therefore, it's a shchita haru'uya. Therefore, you will be chayav, you'll be in violation of the negative command, lo sishchat al chametz, because you have done a shchita. Chutz min achatos sheshochtu Sheshochtoi Shelo Lishmo, with the exception of a sin offering. If you shecht a sin offering Shelo Lishmo, you render the korban posel. Therefore, it's a shechita she'eino re'uya, and therefore you're not in violation of the command of Lo Sishchat al Chometz. We begin the Gemara with Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Shimon, that's Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, the Amor Rabbi Shimon. On the top of Omid Beis, Rabbi Yochanan argues with him. But just a brief note, which has relevance to the Gemara quite a bit later, and that's accompanied by our starred note, Heora, Lekamon beGemara, Hadepshita the Reish Lakish, Miboya Le the Rabbi Oshia. That which Reish Lakish states as a matter of fact is something that will be the subject of a question asked later in the Gemara by Rav Oshaya. So that when we get to that, one shouldn't have the feeling that, well, why is he asking the question? We've already established that. Not so. Here we're dealing with a different Amoroyim. According to Rabbi Shimon Lakish, what he is about to say is obvious to him. But according to Rav Oshaya, it's a matter that needs to be questioned or asked or discussed. The Gemara, Omar Rav Shimon Lakish, Le'olam eino chayov ad shehei hachometz la'shochet o la'zorek o la'echod mibnei chabura. The prohibition of lo sishchal al chometz applies only if the one who's slaughtering or the one who is sprinkling the blood, or one of the people that are counted toward the chabura, that have joined the chabura, where at the top of Omid Beis, Ol Echod Mibnei Chabura, they have to be in possession of the chametz in order for this negative command to have bearing. The Atshei Imoy Ba'azora, and the chametz must be there in the Azora. Rashi at the bottom of Omid Aleph, three lines from the bottom, Ad Shei HaChometz LaShochet V'Afal Gav D'Chsiv Al Chometz Stamo. Even though the pasuk says Lo Sishchat Al Chometz, it doesn't say any. It doesn't specify whose chometz. It says you shouldn't slaughter the korban in the with chometz there. Im Hoya Chometz LeEchod She'eino Mibnei Chabura. If someone who is not part of this specific Korban Pesach group, if someone else had chometz, v'afilu yeshnu imo bazor, even though there's a person standing there with chometz in the azora, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, v'elu hashoichtem pischem royem oisoi, and those that are slaughtering their Korban Pesach see this fellow who's not part of their group, they see him with his chometz, v'hisru bohen, and they warned those people, ein Ovrin, the people that are slaughtering are not in violation. Lo sishchat velo yolin. The pasuk mentions that the pasuk we read already mentions both commands: do not slaughter with the Pesach, and don't leave over till the next day. And as a result of this juxtaposition of phrases, we say kol sheyeshno bahalona yeshno b'shchita. He who is charged with don't leaving over till the next day, and those are only the people that are part of the group. So they are considered part, or they are bound by the lo sishchat. If one of the group members has kulan over him, then everyone is in violation of this command. That's a very communal or collective type offense, having chometz in your possession while doing the Korban Pesach. We continue with Shitas Rabbi Yochanan on the second line from the top of Omid Beis. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Af Al Pi She'ein Imoy Ba'azora. The violation of Lo Sishchat Al Chometz Dam Zivchi will apply even if the concerned parties, the Zorek and the Shochet and the Bnei Chabura, their chometz is not with them in the Azora. The Gemara will now begin what we have called a very long question. On the side of the Gemara, under our No Say heading, we have written the following: Machlokas Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, Mahu Mikum HaChometz Kedei Lavor Al Alav De Lo Sishchat HaChometz. location. What is the location of the chometz in order for this negative command to have effect? And Reish Lakish is lenient in the sense that only if it's there in the Azara, and Rabbi Yochanan is more stringent in that even if it's not, even if these people's chometz is not with them in the Azara, there nevertheless is a violation. As the Gemara unfolds, marking wise, we see triangles. And under our Mivneh heading, we've written Shlavim Shelbiur B'mai Cholkim Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. We will be involved with stages in trying to figure out what are they arguing about. But just structurally, notice we have 2/3 of this Amud of Gemara are basically one question. The question being, what are they arguing about? And then a long answer, which you can see with our long answer marking also, which is the third triangle, so third stage of clarification, where we get an answer to what they are arguing about. Just to spoil the suspense a little bit, and that is that the third stage really is a throwback to the first stage. It's not as if we have three different approaches, rather a first and second approach, and after running into difficulties, the Gemara will say we're going to go back to the first approach. Now, the Gemara. B'mai komifligi. I lema be'erl besomach komifligi. The word al was in the pasuk. Lo sishchat al chometz dam zivchi. What does the word al mean? So, the expression I lema, as we've pointed out numerous times through our Gemara markings, sure, and the word I lema indicates something that will not hold up. It will be rejected. So, the Gemara is saying, if you say that their machlokus is in how to define the word al, the pasuk again said, lo sishchat al chometz. Does al mean besomach? Besomach means next to, means in your presence. Does it mean that? The Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish savar al besomach, when the pasuk says, lo sishchat al chometz, well, the shechita is taking place in the Azora. So, lo sishchat al, with the chometz al, next to you, so that the violation is only if it's imoy bazara. Rabbi Yochanan savar lobo inon al besamuch, and Rabbi Yochanan would represent the opinion that that in order to be in violation, it doesn't have to be next to you, even if it's somewhere else, but you own it, you're in violation. Is that their machlokas over here? That is something they've argued about already elsewhere. So that there's no need for them to repeat an argument when we know their stances from another place. Disnan, and all of the next few lines are to give the background for that. Therefore, what we've done with our markings is trying to isolate the background information, so that if you structurally, what we've done is the Gemara, after raising that the possibility that the machlokes is regarding al besamuch, the Gemara rejects that by saying, but if ligu b'chadazimna, they've already presented their stances, their positions elsewhere. So if you skip the bracketed section, you then come to the next stage. Ela, and the Gemara there says, Ela Basra Sofek Komifli. Their argument concerns the issue of a warning given under doubtful or unsure circumstances. Does that constitute a warning? And when we speak about a negative command, Lo Sishchat Al Chometz Dam Zivchi, we're referring to one who violates it would then be subject to the penalty of lashings. And in order to give lashings, there has to be a warning to the victim or to the perpetrator, to the violator, we'll say. There has to be a warning beforehand. And the question that will be dealt with is Hasra Safek, is a warning under doubtful circumstances considered a real warning? Once the Gemara suggests that, the Gemara will raise the same objection, and you can see with our dashed underlining And again, the Gemara will give all of the background to that. So, therefore, the Gemara then, after the brackets that appear, again, you can see we have a long brackets. The Gemara will then tell you, Amri le'oilom ba'al b'samachan. At that point, the Gemara is going to go back to the original approach. And, of course, we'll have to explain if they already have argued in the past about al b'samach, why do we have to have it repeated again over here? And that will be presented to us through a long answer. With all that structural introduction in place, we go back to the question, five lines from the top. If you're going to say that the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish surrounds the issue of the definition of the word al in the Torah, does it mean besamach or not? Well, they've already argued about that in the context of a korban todah. Now we get into the bracketed section with all of the background information. There is a posuk that's found in Vayikra, Perak, Zayin, posuk Yud Beis. And we have this written on the side of the Gemara, where it says, V'hikriv al zevach atoida chalois matzos. A korban todah is a sheep offering, and along with the sheep offering, 40 baked loaves are brought. Those are the chalos. The pasuk says, "V'hikriv al zevach atoda chalos," so that al, the zevach, together with the zevach, there are also loaves. What imparts the sanctity upon the loaf? And when we speak about the sanctity, we'll be referring to something called kedushas haguf. Kedushas haguf is a level of sanctity whereby the item can no longer be redeemed. Prior to something receiving Kedushas HaGuf, it was, being that it was dedicated, but didn't reach a second stage, the immediate dedication results in sanctification, but only as far as value is concerned. It's called Kedushas Domim, which means the big difference is that something that's Kedushas Domim can be redeemed. Something that has Kedushas HaGuf cannot be redeemed. At what point do these breads, the 40 loaves that accompany a korban todah, at what point do they gain kedushas haguf? Okay, that's just an issue that we have to bear in mind as we go on in the Gemara. So the source says, the Tanaic source that you see in the Gemara, after having read the pasuk of the hikriv al zevach atoida chalos matzos, the source says, hashochei todah lifnim v'lachmo chutz lachoma lo kidei shalechem. If one slaughters the todah, that's the sheep offering known as a korban todah, lifnim means in the azara, obviously that's where you're supposed to shecht it. However, the breads are chutz lachoma. If they're outside the wall, the breads are not sanctified. My chutz lachoma. And when we say they're not sanctified, it means they don't gain their kedushas haguf. They don't get the, well, kedushas haguf is with this inherent substantive level of sanctity. So what does it mean when you say that they didn't gain it because the breads at the time of slaughtering were outside the wall? Rabbi Yochanan Omar, chutz lechomas beis pagi. Beis pagi is a place. It's a reference to, we'll call it, the outer perimeter of Jerusalem. Yerushalayim, within the walls of Yerushalayim, there was a certain level of sanctity, the Yerushalayim sanctity, which is manifest by the fact you're allowed to eat kochim kalim, things like a korban shlomim, korban pesach, within the walls of Yerushalayim. Here, the chutz lechomas beis pagi is outside the far wall of Yerushalayim. So if the breads were outside of the far wall of Yerushalayim, that is reason for them not to get their kedushas haguf. Aval chutz lechomas azara kodesh. If the breads are not actually next to the korban in the azara, they're outside the wall of the azara, they do gain sanctity. V'lo bo'inon al b'samach. We don't require the breads to be literally next to where the shechita is taking place. So when you go back to the pasuk that we have written on the side, v'hikriv al zevach atoido chalos matzos, that together with the zevach you offer the, you have the breads. The breads are with them, even though they're not literally next to the zevach. They're not next to the korban toido. Rabbi Shimon ben Lokesh Omar afilu chutz lechomas azor lo kodesh. According to Reish Lakish, if they're outside the walls of the Azara, they don't gain their sanctity. They don't get Kiddushas Aguf, Alma, Bo'inon, Al, V'samach. So you see that Reish Lakish holds that the Al in the Pasuk where it said, V'hikriv Al Zevachatoda, Al means the breads, the Chalois Matzos must be next to the Toda, the Korban itself. So all that having been said, so what about our Lav of Losishchat Al Chometz? Reish Lakish said that the violation takes place only if it's imoy bazora, as we saw at the end of the first line, end of the line where it's dashed on line, imoy bazora. Rabbi Yochanan, second line from the top, said even if it's not with him in the azora, are they arguing about al being besamach? Probably not. They've already presented that machloikes in the case of the korban toda. Elo behasras sofek komifliki. The machloikes here concerns another issue. As we mentioned earlier, in order for someone to be said to be in violation of a negative command and hence be punished with lashings, the violator would have to have received a warning whereby we tell the person, if you do such and such, you will be in violation of such and such a negative command, and that warrants lashing. What about a case where the warning is given under circumstances where it's not clear that the violator will violate the offense? And when we say it's not clear, it's either because you don't see everything you need to see, or we'll see a bit later, there's another doubt because there's a time factor. According to Reish Lakish, he will be telling you that there is no violation until you see the chametz there in the azara. And then I can say that's a hasras vadai, where I know that if you do this act, then you will be in violation of having chometz. Rabbi Yochanan will tell you that even if the chometz is not there and you don't see it, so you're not sure whether he has. You're warning a person, listen, don't shecht the korban if you are in possession of chometz. If you're in possession, I don't know, it's not, I don't see it there, and yet one is in violation. So that's a hasra sofik, is considered a sufficient hasra. Let's now see this in the Gemara. Elo b'hasra sofik komifligi. The Gemara asks, well, b'honami ha'pligi b'ochado zimna. But regarding the topic of Hasra Sofik, is it considered a legitimate Hasra or not? That is something they have already argued upon. They've already expressed their opinions regarding that topic elsewhere. And that elsewhere is that which is contained in the bracketed section. So that's the question. If you're going to tell me that Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing whether Hasra Sofik is a legitimate form of warning, that's not their issue here. And then if you skip the brackets, the Gemara says, Amri introduces an answer. Amri, l'oilom ba'al b'samach komiflian. At that point, the Gemara goes back to what we had suggested initially. So now let's go through the brackets, the background to the issue of Hasra Sofik that they have argued about in the past, the Itmar. Shvua she'ochal kikar zu hayom. It's a person that's standing at midday and he's taking an oath. He swears that he will eat this loaf of bread today. V'ovar hayoim v'lo ochlo. The day passed and he did not eat it. Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish d'Amri Travayu. Eino loke. According to both opinions, there is no Malkus. The question is, why is there no Malkus? Rabbi Yochanan amar eino loke, mishum dahavi le lav she'en bo maise. Rabbi Yochanan says he doesn't get lashings because when the Torah speaks about the punishment of lashings, the Torah says so only if the negative violation is accomplished through an action. For example, the Torah says, do not eat nevela, unslaughtered meat. How does one violate that? By the action of eating nevela. In this case, there is a negative command, do not violate your vows. What happened here? He vowed to eat the loaf of bread. How does he violate that? By passive non-eating. By passive violation. That's called ein bo maisa. This is a lav, a negative command, whose violation is through passive behavior. And he says, v'chol lav shein bo maisa ein lokin olav. And because of its nature of being a violation in the passive form, that does not warrant lashing. Avol hasra, sofek, shmo hasra. As far as the type of hasra that would have been given here, this is a hasra that would have been given under doubtful circumstances. What do we mean by that? When you hear someone vowing to eat the loaf of bread by the end of the day, and you warn him and say, listen, you better eat the loaf of bread, otherwise you're in violation, do you know whether he will violate that lav or not? Is there not a time factor? Does he not have till the end of the day? So by virtue of the fact that there's a time consideration, at any point you give the warning, it's not clear whether he will be in violation of that. If we take a look in Rashi, a few lines down in the middle, more or less in the middle of the Rashi column, Hasra Safek, V'chimasri bay, when you warn this person who vowed, achluhu hayom pentavor al ashvua, you must eat the bread so as not to violate the oath. Shemo yavor, shemo lo yavor, maybe he'll violate it, maybe not. Al hasra osein, maybe he will violate our warning, maybe not. Da'adayin ye shehus bayom. We dashed underline that in the Rashi because there is a principle being taught that when the warning is something that is dependent upon passage of time in order for violation to take place. So it's not as if the warning is immediate to the act that would be prohibited. Here, there is a time factor that creates doubt. As far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, the exemption for the Malkus is simply because it was a passive form of violation, is non-eating of the loaf. However, from the warning standpoint, that warning would have been good enough. The Hasra Sofek would have been a sufficiently strong and effective Hasra. So that if we think for a moment, imagine a person would say he swears not to eat the loaf today, and he's standing at noon. Well, the violation of that type of oath would be the eating of it. That already is a lav sheyesh bo maisa. However, as far as the warning is concerned, there's still the time element. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, that case would have resulted in lashings had the day gone by where at the end of the day, if he would have eaten the loaf, even though I warned him hours before with the element of suffix involved in that warning because of the time factor. Nevertheless, that would have been a lav sheyesh bo maisa, even though it's a hasras suffix, shmo hasra. For Reb Shimon ben Lakish Omar, eino loke. Reb Shimon Lakish says that a person who had sworn to eat a loaf of bread that day, and the day goes by without his eating it, he won't get Malkus, Mishum Dehavile Hasra Sufik, because at the time the Hasra was given, there was the doubt whether he would in fact violate this or not. Vasra Sufik Lo Shmo Hasra. And Hasra, where there's doubt built into the violation, is not considered a warning. Avolav Shein Bo Maisa Loikin Alav. However, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, a lav, a negative command that's violated through non-action, through passive behavior, will result in Malkus. What, though, preoccupies us right now? The issue of the Machlokus Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish regarding Chometz in or not in the Azorah is being analyzed through Hasra Safek. That could not be their Machlokus, because that they've already expressed in the context of the Shivua issue. So the Gemara says, Amri, say, answer as follows. What is their point of controversy? And again, take note of the fact we have a long answer marking. Li'oilom, third stage of analysis. Li'oilom ba'al b'samuch komethugi. They really are arguing about the issue of the word al, lo sishchat al chometz, does al mean next to or not? U tsricha. Well, if you're going to say that that's their machlokus, and what about the fact that it was already stated in the case of the lachme toida? I need to be taught this on both, in both cases. That Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan argue regarding al b'samach, both in the case of Lachme Toda, where the Pasuk has said Vikriv Al Zevach HaToda, and the Lo Sishchat Al Chometz. Why? What would have happened had they stated their positions only in one of the cases? The Eifligu Leinyan Chometz. Notice with the markings, we swill in the Eifligu means if I would have stated it only in this case, Chometz, and later a few lines down, the E Ashminan, again squiggle underline, had their machlokas been taught only in the case of Lechem Lachme Toda, what would I have thought? So now the Gemara explains the Eifligu Leinyan Chometz had the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish been featured only with regard to Chometz, Have Amina, Bahu, Have Amina, I would have thought, Bahu, who did come Rabbi Yochanan to Lo Boinan Al B'Samoch? I would have thought that only there Rabbi Yochanan doesn't require it to be next to you. Mishum De Isur Hu. Because you're dealing with an issue of violation, of transgression. The Chol Hecho De Isay, Isay, wherever it is, it is. You're a violator. But however, as far as imparting sanctity to the breads, they don't become sanctified unless they're in the Azora. So, Ema Moida Le the Reb Shimon Ben Lakish Deboinon Al B'Samoch. I would have thought that maybe under such circumstances where the issue is imposition of sanctity, there Reb Yochanan would have agreed with Reish Lakish that it doesn't gain its sanctity unless it's inside the Isei Gavoi Kodesh, Ilo Lo Kodesh. If it's Gavoi, Gavoi means inside the courtyard, it becomes sanctified. And Ilo, if the loaves of the Lachme Toda are not in the Azara, they don't become sanctified. And there's precedent for this Midida Ve'Klishares, similar to items that become sanctified by being put inside a service vessel. In the Beis HaMikdash, there were different vessels that themselves had been sanctified and had the capacity, had the power of imparting Kedushas HaGuf to that which was placed inside the vessel. And this is the case when it comes to certainly with regard to meal offerings. The meal offering becomes sanctified when it's placed in the Beis HaMikdash bowl. Up till that point, it's not, doesn't have Kedushas HaGuf. So just like in the case of Klei Shores and their ability to impart sanctity, it has to be within the walls of the Klei Shores. So too with regard to the Lechem, the Lachme Toda, the breads, the loaves have to be inside the walls of the Azara. So that's what I would have thought. I would have thought that with regard to, had I been taught the Machlokis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish only with regard to Chometz, there Rabbi Yochanan says Al does not have to be B'Samach, but as far as Mikdash Lechem, Rabbi Yochanan might have agreed with Reish Lakish. Therefore, Tzricha, in addition to teaching me their machlokas by chometz, I have to teach you their machlokas regarding the lachmei todah, and Rabbi Yochanan would tell you that even if the breads are not in the Azara, they will gain sanctity. V'i ashminin in mikdash lechem, and had the machlokas been taught only by the issue of sanctity of the lachmei todah, have amino, I would have thought b'hach ka'oma Reb Shimon ben Lakish demin al b'samuch. Maybe only in this case Rabbi Reish Lakish holds that the al means next to, in the presence, namely the breads of the lachmei todah need to be in the azara for sanctification. If they are in the azara, they become sanctified. When the sheep is slaughtered, the korban todah is slaughtered, and if they're not inside the azara, so the slaughtering of the sheep will not impart kedusha to them. Avo the inyan chometz moidalei the Rabbi Yochanan, but regarding the issue of chometz, maybe Reish Lakish would have conceded to Rabbi Yochanan de lobin and al besomuch that you don't require it to be next to you in order for the violation to take hold. The isurahu, because you're dealing there with an issue of transgression, not an issue of sanctification like by the lachmei todah, but an issue of transgression. V'chol heicha the isay, and wherever the chometz is, it is. And you would be considered in violation by virtue of the fact you possess chometz, even though it's not there in the azara. I would have thought that maybe Reish Lakish would agree with Rabbi Yochanan's stringency. Tzricha, therefore, in addition to teaching me the machlokas, and specifically Reish Lakish's point of view regarding the mikdash lechem, we have to teach you Reish Lakish's position with regard to lo sishchat al chometz as well. Bo minei Rav Hoshaya mirabi ami. Rav Hoshaya is going to now raise a question that we have already touched upon, but not as a question, but rather as Reish Lakish's definitive statement. Nevertheless, Rav Hoshaya asks. He asks a question of Rav Ami. Ein lo la shochet v'yesh lo lechol v'mnei chabura ma'u. Let us say that chometz is possessed not by the one who's slaughtering, but one of the members of the Korban Pesach group. Now, the basis of asking a question like this is, well, the Pesach after all says lo sishchat al chometz dam zivchi. The Pesach itself seems to emphasize the one who's doing the slaughtering. So Rav Hoshaya asks, well, what about if the shochet, he doesn't have chometz, but one of the group members of the Korban Pesach do have chometz? Omar Lei. So Rav Ami answers, Miksiv lo sishchat achim tzicha. Does the pasuk present the violation in the possessive form? Do not slaughter when you have your chometz, addressing the shochet. Doesn't say that though. Lo sishchat al chometz. See, if it says it in a general form, do not slaughter when there is chometz. That's what it. See, if that's what it says, and what is Rav Ami answering? He's answering then. Well, that even if it's not the shochet's chometz, but it's one of the bnei chabura's chometz, they are all in violation. Amar Lei, so Rav Hoshaya says, well, then let's carry this even further. Yachi afilu lechad b'soif olam nami. Even some total outsider, there should be a violation. And we touched on this before when we presented Reish Lakish. Meaning, if you're saying that the Pesach is speaking in the general, lo sishchat al chometz, should there not be a violation even in a case where you're slaughtering the Korban Pesach, you and the people joining your group of the Korban Pesach, they don't have, but someone else there in the Azara happens to have chometz, should that not also reflect on those that are slaughtering the Korban Pesach, and they would also be in violation, and then they would be in violation? Omar Lei, so Rav Ami says, no, the Isur doesn't go that far. Omar Krah, the Pasuk says in Shmois Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Chof Hei, Lo Sishchat, and then three dots indicate there are more words, and it goes on to say Velo Yolin. And you could see right on the side of the Gemara, we've written the whole Pasuk, Lo Sishchat Al Chometz Dam Zivchi Velo Yolin Laboiker Zevach Ara Pesach. Who is being addressed by the in this Pasuk when it says Lo Sishchat Al Chometz? Who is being addressed? Hanoch the kaimi ole mishum lo yolin. Those people that would be in violation of leaving over till the morning. So who is included in that? Obviously, the people that are part of that group of the Chabura, the people that are part of the Chabura that are there to eat the Korban Pesach. So those are the people that are charged with Lo Sishchat Al Chomeis, that are in violation if they have Chomeis, not some outsider. Omar Rav Papa Hilkoch Kohen HaMaktir Es HaChilev Oiver Beloy Sase. The Kohen that is offering the Chilev, the innards of the Korban Pesach, if he is in possession of Chometz, he will also be in violation of the negative command. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Actually, before we read the Rashi, so another phrase in the Gemara, why is he in violation? He's not slaughtering, and he's not necessarily part of the Chabura, but is a Hoyol V'yeshno B'chlal Halonas Emurim, since he is included in the prohibition of leaving over the Emurim till the morning. And we saw Pasuk in Shmos Perchov Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches, that said, Lo Sizbach HaChometz Dam Zivchi, V'lo Yolin Chelev Chagiyad Boker. So he who is charged with not leaving over the Emurim, and that's the Kohen's responsibility, so he too would be in violation of the lav of Lo Sizbach Al Chometz, having possession of Chometz. Let us glance at the Rashi. Hamaktir Es HaChelev. Rav Papa's din regards the Kohen that offers the innards. Shel Pesach if this Kohen who is burning the innards happens to be in possession of Chometz at the time he's burning them, he will be in violation of this lav. If one of the people of the Chabura didn't have Chometz, v'yesh lo l'koyein hamakti b'shas haktorah, over who? He will be in violation. V'afagav de lo ksiv elo lo sishchat, even though the Pasuk in Shmos Perek Lamed Daled Pasuk Chof Heis used the lav of don't slaughter, uzrika misrabia b'mechilta midam, and the one who sprinkles the blood is also in violation of this lo sishchat if he happens to have chometz when he's doing the zrikas adam. That's learned from the fact that the pasuk says dam zivchi, dam is a reference to the sprinkling of the blood. Osinami haktora also comes into the picture. Midasamche lelo yolin, from the fact that the pasuk that deals with the emurim, the chelev, mentions lo yolin. Kol sheyeshno ba'avodo shelohen ba'azhoras halona, anyone who's involved with the prohibition of leaving over till the next morning, yeshno nami ba'azhoras chometz, he's also included in the prohibition of having chometz. Hilkoch maktir nami over. And the Rashi goes on, Hoyol v'yeshno ba'alona semurim dechtiv behu nami, it says in Perek Chof Gimel Pasuk Yud Ches, lo yolin chelev chagi. And that is on the heels of lo sizbach al chometz dam zivchi. Now, we continue in the Gemara, and we have a structural note, because you will see Roman numerals 1, and a few lines later, introducing the next Tanaic source, Roman number 2, and on the side of the Gemara, we've noted first under our Nosei heading the Dino Shel Rav Papa Koyein Hamaktir Es Hachele V'yeshlo Chometz Oiver V'loi Sase, and the next Nosei Hemshech, a continuation, reads the under the Nosei Mivne heading, Roman numerals 1 and 2. After the Gemara will support Rav Papa with the Tanaic source that we call Roman numeral number 1. That's B'Braisa number 1. So after that, B'Nosaf L'Siyua, Yesh Od Kama Protim Hakshurim L'Lav Shel Lo Yisishchad Al Chometz. In addition to the support, there are other halachas regarding this violation of lo sishchar al-chametz. Achakach haGemara male brisa number two. Afterwards, the Gemara then will introduce brisa number two im dinim sosrim. The Gemara then bereish samach dalar min aleph haGemara miyasheves osam. The Gemara will resolve these seeming contradictions at the top of Samach Dalet Omen Aleph. So now we turn to the Gemara, first wide line. Tanyo kavosei de Rav Papa. Hashoychet es ha-Pesach ala chometz oivir b'lo isase. A person who slaughters the Korban Pesach while in possession of chometz is in violation of a negative command. Emosai, well, when is there a violation? Bizman shehu, when it is the chometz belongs to la shochet or la zorek or leechod mibnei chabura, or to one of the let's go over the terms: shochet, the slaughterer; the zorek, the one sprinkling the blood; or one of the bnei chabura, one of the group members appointed joining to eat this specific korban pesach. Hoyer leechod b'soif oilam ein zokuklo. If some outsider happens to have chometz and is present in the azora when you're slaughtering, then it is of no concern to you. Ein zokuklo, you don't have to deal with it. You don't have to destroy his chometz so as to avoid an aveira. Ve'echad ha-shochet, ve'echad ha-zorek, ve'echad ha-maktir chayav, whether it's the slaughterer or the sprinkler or even the maktir. And we dashed underline this. This is the support to Rav Papa. The maktir is the one who burns the innards of the korban pesach that go on the into the fire on the mizbeach in the courtyard. Avol, in contrast, though, hamoylek es ha'oiv v'arbosor, eino oiver b'loy klum. One who slaughters a bird offering through malika. Malika is the method of slaughtering a bird offering on the 14th, and he happens to have chametz, he is not in violation of this particular lav. Rashi points out that when the source says bird offering, it's not specifically the bird offering, but it could be any korban as well. And the reason that bird offering is cited is because the possibility or the frequency of having other korbanos offered in the afternoon hours of Erev Pesach is very unlikely. There are many, many korban Pesach. There may even been millions of korban Pesachim as far as we're concerned. And there isn't time for offering other kinds of korbanos. However, an oif you have something called a chatasof, and we've discussed this topic earlier. That is characteristic of someone who is mechusar kippurim, who had been tomei and needs to bring this bird offering in order to enable him to eat from the korban pesach. So there is at that time of day, people will be bringing a chatasof as well. But as we said, it's a mere example, but not restricted to. So the source is saying that as far as the slaughtering of other sacrifices on the 14th of Nisan, there is no aveira of lo sishchat al chometz, being in possession of chometz. The support to Rav Papa was obvious. It said, Echon ha-maktir chayav. Now, in this source, we had a number of other points, and we're now going to challenge that. Viramini, we raise a contradiction. Roman source number two, Hashochet es ha-Pesach ala chometz oivir b'lo sase. One who slaughters the korban pesach while in possession of chometz is in violation of a negative command. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af hatomid. So too, one who slaughters the public daily sacrifice, the tomid shel beinar abayim, the afternoon tomid, if he is in possession of chometz, he'll be in violation. Omru lo, the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda say to him, lo omru elo v'pesach bilvad, the command concerning not having chometz during slaughtering applies only to the korban pesach, not like you, Rabbi Yehuda, say to include the tomid. Emosai, bizman sheyeshlo la shochet o la zorek o la echod meyachabur. When is there a violation? That's only if one of the participants in the korban pesach, whether he's the slaughterer or the sprinkler of the blood or one of the chabura members, hoy lecha b'sof ha'olam ein zokuk lo. If it's some outsider, that happens to have chametz in his possession while you are processing your Korban Pesach, you don't have to concern yourself with that, and you're not in violation. Now we've dashed on a molek. Molek is a bird offering. It's not a Korban Pesach. Ve'echad ha-mazeh. Mazeh is the sprinkling of the blood of a bird offering. If he's in possession of chametz, chayav. Avol ha-klimetz is a mincha, eno over below. So one who takes a handful of a meal offering in the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan and puts it in the fire while he himself is in possession of chametz is not in violation, because kmitza is not considered shechita. Whereas the bird offering, even though standard shechita is not used for a bird offering, there's a fingernail, the thumbnail of the kohen is pressed into the back of the neck of the bird, severing its organs, but molek is a type of shechita, whereas the meal offering is not a type of shechita. Hamaktir es hoemurim eino over below sase. One who offers the innards of the Korban Pesach, and Rashi adds here, Hamaktir hoemurim bein Pesach biyudalid bein b'moyed ashar zvachim, whether it's the Korban Pesach on the 14th or during the holiday of Pesach, where you would be offering other korbanos, and you happen to be in possession of chametz, you're not in violation of this particular lav, the lav featured here of lo sishchat al chametz. As we said earlier, if you're in possession of chametz during Pesach, you're in violation of ba'yiru ba'yamotze, other negative commands, but not this particular negative command. We have dashed, underlined key phrases. In the first source, the source number one, we saw Maktir being Chayav. What about source number two? It said in source number two, Maktir is an Eino Over. In source number one, we saw Molek es Ha'of is not Over. And in the second source, it said, Echad HaMolek, Echad HaMazeh, Chayav. He is over. He is in violation. That brings us to the top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. Kashio Maliko Amaliko, Kashio Haktora Aktora. As we just demonstrated, there seems to be a contradiction regarding Maliko and regarding Haktora between these two sources. The Gemara answers. And the answer... The style of Gemara, which says Ulitamech, basically introduces an answer, but like the heart of the resolution, that appears only a few lines later. But as far as we are concerned, the answer begins here. And that's why we have a long answer marking for this section of Gemara. Ulitamech, according to you that are bothered by the contradiction between the two sources, Tikshiloch hi gufa, the second brisa itself has an inherent contradiction that doesn't seem to bother you. What's the inherent seeming contradiction? Dikotoni, it said, lo omru elo bepesach bilvad, so that the violation of having chometz in the context of slaughtering or processing sacrifices applies only to the Korban Pesach. Notice we have a little arrow pointing to Samach Gimel Amud Beis on the left-hand side of the Gemara text. Check it out. Go to the left-hand side on the bottom part of Samach Gimel Amud Beis, and you see in that source it says Lo Omru Elo BePesach Bilvad, that the whole violation, that's what the Rabbanon said to Rabbi Yehuda, the violation doesn't include the Tum, it's only by the Korban Pesach. When we speak about the violation, we're talking, of course, about the violation of being in possession of chametz while processing the korban. So that's what it says in the source, doesn't it? The hodar toni, and then in the same source it says, echad ha-shochet, vechad ha-zorek, vechad ha-moylek, vechad ha-mazeh. And molek is a reference to other kinds of sacrifices other than the It's clear. In other words, Shochet and Zorik, you can say that's a reference to the Korban Pesach. But Molek is a bird offering. Molek is the method of, we mentioned the thumbnail method of slaughtering a bird offering. That's not a Korban Pesach, and yet there is Chiyuv. There is a violation. So, what are you going to say about that? Ela, Ha v'ha Rebbe Shimon. Both of the sources are authored by Rebbe Shimon. Maliko amaliko lo kashya. As far as what appeared to be a contradiction with regard to Maliko, there is no contradiction. We should point out, before going further, by citing the name Rebbe Shimon, we are referring to Rebbe Shimon that we saw on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph in the Mishnah, where Rebbe Shimon had spoken about the this lav of having chometz regarding the Pesach on the 14th, and we saw him speak about the lav regarding having chometz during the rest of the Pesach Hale, Bamoed. So, as far as the source is concerned, there is no contradiction. Before we go further into the Gemara, though, we recommend looking at the Rashi on the first narrow line. Elohavaha, Travayu, Hanoch, Masnisa, both of these Tanaic sources, Roman numerals 1 and 2, Rebbe Shimon, are Rebbe Shimon de Masnisin. They reflect Rebbe Shimon of our Mishnah, the Potar Ashar Kabonis Barba Asar, who exempts from this chometz violation, other korbanos on the 14th of Nisan, but when it comes to Chol HaMoed, then one is chayav for having, one's chayav this lav, this special shechita lav, with regard to other sacrifices, but only during Pesach itself. So we're saying that both sources are Rabbi Shimon, Malika Amalika Lo Kashya, as far as the issue of Malika, where in source number one, we saw exemption, Kanbar Basar. That's on the 14th, where Malika is a bird offering. It's a non-Korban Pesach, and hence, for all other Korbanos, on the 14th, there is no violation. Kan B'Cholo Shamoe. Source number two that said that Malika would be Chayav is talking about Chol HaMoed. V'idi, Rebbe Shimon, he. Both sources represent Rebbe Shimon of our Mishnah, that pattered regarding other korbanos on the 14th, and is mechayev regarding other korbanos during the Moed. Haktora nami lo kashya, regarding the seeming contradiction regarding the haktora of Emurim, there is also no contradiction. Tanoi hi, there is a machlokes tanoim within Rebbe Shimon. De'iko de makish haktora l'shchita, there are those that will compare the law of haktora to the law of shchita. We know by shchita, one who has chometz in his possession when doing the shchita is chayev. So this opinion that says that haktora would be chayev is because he compares haktora to shchita. De'iko mandalo makish. And there is that he who is not makish doesn't compare, and that would be the second source that said, "Amakdus imurim eno over below saset." There is one point that we haven't clarified yet, and that was the issue of what about the inherent contradiction? How do you explain a source that says that lo omru elo bepesach bilvad, and then in the same source you go on to say, the negative command applies to all other korbanos as well. So let us take a look at Rashi, who ties all the loose ends together. Rashi dibor masal maliko amaliko lo kashya. Komaisa, the first brisa, the potar bar basar, regarding maliko on the 14th. Let's read that again a little more accurately. That's komaisa de potar. Barbosar koi, he is on the 14th of Nisan. Kidetoni bo behedyo, as it says explicitly, Hamolikas of Biudalid, it said that explicitly. Vitona oif, and the Brisa mentions a bird offering. Vuadin l'shar svochim, same exemption applies to all other sacrifices being offered while in possession of the chometz. El mishum the urche l'kuvi bo biyom. Only because, as we mentioned earlier, that a bird offering is is a common example, relatively speaking, of something that would be brought on the 14th of Nisan after the Tomid. Veresha de Masnisa Basraisa, the beginning part of the second Tanaic source, de Kotoni Nami, Lo Omru Elo Pesach Bilvad. That was the Resha of source number 2. Remember, this is a reference to that which the Gemara said on the second line from the top that said, Ulatamech Tikshilach Hi Gufa. So the Resha of source number 2 that said that the prohibition is limited to the Korban Pesach, that's Rabbi Shimon Amra, that's according to Rabbi Shimon Varbal Sokoi, that is on the 14th of Nisan. On the 14th of Nisan, the violation of Losish Chalal Chometz is limited to the Korban Pesach. The continuation of the source that said, Vechara Shochet V'chule De Seifa, and it said, Echara Shochet and Shochet, and it said, also the molek, which is the ikur point here, which includes other korbanos, that's becholo shel moed koma. That's not referring to the 14th anymore. That's referring to the holiday itself. Vashminu chiyuva lezorek lemolek keshochet, and it tells me that there is a violation for the zorek and the molek like the shochet. The lo tema shchita dafka. That one should not think that it's limited to shchita. We turn back to the Gemara, where we now feature Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. We saw Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af HaTomid, that one who slaughters the Tomid Shebo Arbayim while in possession of Chometz is Chayav. My time of Rabbi Yehuda, what's the basis for including something beyond the Korban Pesach? In this case, what's Rabbi Yehuda's basis for including the Tomid Shebo Arbayim, the public daily afternoon sacrifice? Omar Loch. The Pasuk says, Zivchi. Lo sishchat al chometz dam zivchi. Zevach hamiyuchod li. My special sacrifice. Umayni, what is the special sacrifice? Tomid, the public daily offering was a special sacrifice. It was brought every day of the year, twice a day. So that gives it a very special a significance. Hence it's called the, or it's my special korban, and that's indicated by the word zivchi. And as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, that indicates that not only having chometz while shechting a korban pesach on the 14th, but the tomid as well. Rabbi Shimon Omer ha pesach bar basar v'chulei, and Rabbi Shimon in his presentation made a distinction between the korban pesach and other korbanos. When you look back at the Mishnah, you see on Daf Samach Gimel Aleph, he said the Pesach on the Arba Asar has its standard, and other korbanos, whether it's lishma or lo lishma, there will always be exemption. And then when it came to the Moed, we saw again, a distinction between the Korban Pesach versus all other sacrifices. So the Gemara asks, "My taima de Rabbi Shimon, what is the basis of Rabbi Shimon's distinguishing between Pesach and other korbanos?" Dichtiv, the pasuk in the psukim, you find the word zivchi on a couple of occasions. Zivchi, zichtiv, dichtiv, zivchi, zivchi, trei zimni. In fact, the psukim that we recorded before, you have lo sizbach al chometz dam zivchi and lo sishchat al chometz dam zivchi. So you see the word zivchi appearing a couple of times. Kri bay by the power of the oral tradition. This is something that we would not do on our own, but the chachomim of the Talmud could do this. They say, take the word zivchi, zivchi, take the yud off of one of the words, and apply it and attach it to the second word. Kri be zevach, zivochai. So that the what appeared to be the same word twice, in fact, becomes two different words. Zevach is the Korban Pesach, and Zivochai is a reference to all their korbanos. Lemai hilchisa palginu rachmona mehadodi velo kosav zivochai. Well, if the point of the Gemara was to, if the point of the Torah was to feature zivochai, why does the Torah not write zivochai, but rather splits them into two separate words? In other words, Rashi, let's take a look at Rashi first. V'amai palginu rachmona v'lo kosav zivochai b'chad kro. Why not have the Torah just write zivochai in one pasuk v'akol b'mashman? That would have included all korbanos bein b'pesach bein shar zivochim. So why did it do that? So the Gemara answers, Lemeimar, to tell me the following. Bizman de'ika zevach, that's the singular korban, the korban Pesach. And what's the zman, the 14th of Nisan, when you have the korban Pesach? Lo mechayev azvochai, you won't be in violation with regarding to having chometz, with regard to processing other korbanos. Bizman de'leko zevach, when you are not with the Korban Pesach, meaning the other days of the Pesach holiday, Mechayev Azvochai, then you will be bound for having processed them while in possession of chometz. Uva Moyed, this is again a quote from the Mishnah, Lishmoy Potter, Shaloi Lishmo Chayev, with regard to a Korban Pesach, if you do it, lishmo, with the intention of Korban Pesach, the Mishnah says, according to Reb Shimon, you will be exempt because you've ruined the Korban. It's a Shechita Shein Aruya. However, if you do a Korban Pesach on in the middle of the Pesach holiday, Shaloi Lishmoi, with a Shlomim intention, a non-Korban Pesach intention, let's say a Shlomim intention, and you have Chometz, you will be in violation. We want to now infer from this Mishnah, Taimo de Shalo Lishmo. So why is there why is one in violation if he does the Korban Pesach with a Shlomim intention? Only then will he be in violation. Ha Stama Potter. This leaves room to infer that if you have a neutral mindset, you will be exempt from Lo Sishchat. Well, am I? Why should he be exempt? Is there not a known rule, Pesach b'shar yemois hashana shlomim havei, that a Pesach on the other days of the year means outside the 14th? Let's be more specific. A korban Pesach during Chol HaMoed, it has the identity of a korban shlomim. Now, what did we just say in our Mishnah? We said that in order to be chayev, again, shchita, Rabbi Shimon is shchita horuya, shchita that is fitting and leads to the acceptance of the korban. If you do a proper shchita, so then you'll be in violation. When is there violation? Well, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon said, if you do it l'shem shlomim, and if you're neutral about it, no violation. Why in the world, if you're neutral about it, should be there no violation? Are you not in effect slaughtering a Pesach B'Shayim HaSashon? Are you not in effect slaughtering a Korban Shlomim? And yet, we say you'd be exempt. But you're doing a proper Shlita. Why should you be exempt? Well, if we're to accept this conclusion, then this will lead us to concluding another point. Shamis Minos, should we conclude from this that Pesach B'Shayim HaSashona Boy Akira, that a Pesach during the other days of the year, in order to be considered a Shlomim, you have to actively, proactively state that you're doing it as a Shlomim? That's Akira, means uproot the shame Pesach from it. And if you don't uproot the shame Pesach, you don't uproot its Pesach identity, so we won't say it's Stam a Shlomim. So should we conclude that? Omer of Chia Bar Gamda, he says, don't conclude that. Nizrika mipi Chabura, the decision came forth, was cast forth from the group of scholars. It means there was unanimous opinion, the Omru, and they explained. Our Mishnah, which implies that you need to do Akira in order for it to get a Shem Shlomim, and how did we come to that conclusion? We said that only if you do it with Kavona, L'Shem Shlomim, does it become a real Shlomim, and hence you would be in violation of Losish HaLachomix. But in a neutral form, it wouldn't be considered a Shlomim. You know why? We're talking about Kegon Shehoyu Bailim Tmei Meis, V'nidchim LePesach Sheni. The person who has set aside this particular Korban Pesach is a person who had become Tomei Meis. He had become defiled, and as a result of defilement to the dead, he then is pushed off to Pesach Sheni. That means the 14th of Iyar. So he has, in effect, an animal that's dedicated as a Korban Pesach, which during the Pesach holiday, he has in mind that this animal will be brought as a Korban Pesach. So to call it in its neutral form, to call it a Shlomim, would be inaccurate. Because as far as this person is concerned, he needs it to be, he needs it as a Korban Pesach that he'll bring next month. This is an example where the Stam Korban Pesach on this Pesach holiday is a Pesach. But in general, person who already fulfilled his Pesach requirement and happened to have a Korban Pesach around, and it comes to the Pesach holiday, it will automatically be a Shlomim. And if that's the case, so then the din of the Mishnah and its diuk would not apply. Then the din will be different. It will be not only if you shecht it, shelo lishmo would be chayav, but even if he shechts it stam, he would be chayav, because he is a person that doesn't need it as a Pesach Sheni. Hence, stam, it in fact is a shlomim. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.